From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for August 27th, 2021. Mexican Fiesta is this weekend at the Summerfest grounds. The Brewers are in the Twin Cities for the weekend, so they're going to miss the Fiesta. And the Packers wrap up the exhibition season this Saturday in Buffalo. There's a common thread that runs through these first three stories. In Seattle, this past Tuesday morning, right there on the sidewalk in front of everybody, one naked man stabbed another naked man. Both naked men are going to be okay. In Tennessee, after he was rescued while floating naked on a pile of logs, a man was charged with indecent exposure. That should be the least of his worries. You would think he'd worry about splinters. In Alabama, a man's day went from bad to worse. While waiting for a tow truck for his broken down car, he was attacked by what else? A naked stranger. What in the wide world of sports is going on out there? Sri Lanka just passed a new law to protect their elephants. It's now against the law to drunk drive your elephant. Just to be clear, it's not the elephants that are drunk. And finally, our goofy headline of the week comes from the Salt Lake City Tribune. Utah Poison Control Center reminds everyone not to take poison. Well, I'm glad they cleared that up. On the podcast today, we have Brian Kill, Paige Ratke, Mike Helzel, Joel Driesing, and wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
Thanks, Maxson. It was a pretty good week. NASDAQ closed for the first time above 15,000 this week. S&P 500 set numerous records. Week overall, the NASDAQ was up 2.8%, climbing 415 points. Closed today at 15,130. Meanwhile, the S&P Stock Composite 500 added 1.5%, climbing 68 points. Closed at 4509. Dow Jones Industrial Average added 1% this week, climbing 335 points. Closed at the Bell this afternoon in New York, with the Dow finishing the week 35,455. Pretty decent year. Year-to-date, NASDAQ up 17.9. This includes dividends. S&P up 21.2%. Pretty decent for the first 8 months of the year, and the Dow's up 17.3. You know, Brian, a lot of people were trying to focus on the annual Jackson Hole Symposium that the Fed chair attends, a lot of muckety-mucks from around the country. And it almost came out as a non-event, where Chairman Powell said that he is prepared to reduce the stimulus spending, but he's going to take a wait-and-see attitude. And I'm pretty sure I didn't learn anything from reading that sentence that I saw online this afternoon, yet traders all week said everybody's going to be focused intensely on that. So in all seriousness, you and I know from experience that markets have been volatile during periods of temper tantrums, if we would say. You know, I can think of numerous times. 2018, right? The market was down almost 19% in the fall on worries of higher interest rates. Certainly the temper tantrums coming out of President Obama's stimulus spending in the earlier part of the decade. And so I would expect volatility here with the temper tantrums. And folks, what we're talking about is, you know, the Fed buys $120 billion worth of bonds a month. It's a lot. They have gone after long-dated bonds. So that's kept long-term interest rates low. And the markets tend to be volatile, not knowing what to expect. So here we had this long-awaited meeting, and in effect, they didn't say anything.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you go back to, I think, the first taper tantrum, which was 2013, I think, maybe, I don't know. But we got rocked with interest rates when people were surprised. And so we've gone to kind of the other extreme now, that the language changes so incrementally that there are no surprises, or at least there haven't been anyway. But I think we got a pretty clear indication, if we didn't know before, that it's around the corner. And I think the fact that markets went up today, in lieu of that, tells you that maybe we're past the idea that there may be a taper tantrum, and maybe this will be a smooth ride as we get back to normal monetary policy, however long that takes. So I think mission accomplished to the degree that there wasn't a shock to the system and a shock to the markets as a result of any change in narrative.
You know, if there was any news, I suppose it would be that Chairman Powell explained why he expects a recent rise in inflation to fade. Of course, he's been saying that for a number of months now, saying he felt the inflationary pressures were transitory. It turns out that looks like he's pretty accurate on that.
Well, I think, too, it's, you know, you're going to at some point in time shift your focus from monetary policy to what's actually happening in the economy, and I think that's where we're going now. So a lot of, you know, significant news in inflation now, but also some news that tempers that in our thinking for down the road. So I think as the next few months unfold and we see exactly where inflation lands, where the labor situation lands, where some of these other things finally settle out, then we'll be focused on the real results, not monetary policy, and we'll see where that all takes us.
As it should be.
As it should be.
Mike, you got to feel pretty good just on the heels of a vacation. You come back, stocks are an all-time high here in the United States. Way to go.
I don't want to take full credit for it, but thank you very much.
I'll have
to go on vacation more often. It's funny. Last time I was on the program, we talked about how some people were getting too enthusiastic. They wanted to go all in because stocks were rising, even though there was some volatility with, you know, Delta variant and stuff like that. But with the way the markets have been going up, and it's things you say all the time, Bob, it's interest rates and earnings. I mean, you look at the earnings season we've been having, it's not really knocking the cover off the ball, but it's very solid. And like you and Brian just discussed, Chairman Powell said interest rates are going to be low for a significant amount of time. So those are two pillars that are just going to keep the market steady and I think keep it pushing upward. Again, we use the phrase a lot here, cautiously optimistic about the short-term view of the markets. And I think with the news you've been seeing lately, I don't think there's any need to change that view.
You know, maybe one of those things, too, where you get a little bit of bad news and it's actually helpful, because if you're worried about things heating up too much and there's a couple stumbles along the way and maybe there isn't as much inflationary pressure, maybe in the long run that's good because it's a little smoother ride climbing out of this thing. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out in the weeks ahead.
Paige, I was encouraged to see that economically sensitive stocks, along with bank stocks, did pretty well this week. Could perhaps be a harbinger of signs that the economy is going to continue to pick up some speed moving forward. What's your take?
Yeah, I think that there's two ways that you can look at it. One being, obviously, that the economy is going to pick up some speed, like you were saying, and so cyclical stocks are the ones that are going to benefit more from that. You could also look at it from the standpoint of some of those larger names that have kind of been leading the way in the market are pretty overbought at this point, to be honest with you. They're taking up larger percentages in the indexes. It's becoming harder and harder to justify some of those higher PE ratios that we're seeing. Add to that some of the tech regulations that are continuing to roll their way out. And I think all of that bodes well for those more cyclical companies that really do benefit overall. So, you know, as you know, Bob, cyclicals tend to outperform in those early stages of economic recovery. Now, this economic recovery is obviously a little bit different than the ones that we've seen before. So one could argue that we are still in those early stages as we continue to work our way through this pandemic. Delta impacts are as well as our concern. And again, just looking at some of those more things that you actually see enter the economy through those infrastructure spending bills, through those higher home prices, builders, things like that, I think it will continue to bode well for cyclicals, at least in the near future.
Paige, you were part of our investment advisory committee on Monday where we had the occasion to listen to a portfolio manager out in Ohio speak. And he addressed the issue that you just brought up about five stocks represent 25% of the value of the S&P right now, and all five of them have growth rates of at least 15% a year. And he said, if that comes true, you're going to see five stocks be worth half of the value of the S&P in the future. And this gentleman felt pretty confident saying that. You know, it's a pretty incredible forecast when you think that just these trillion-dollar-plus companies could so thoroughly dominate the financial landscape.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, is unfortunately when we look at things like ETFs and those more passive investments, well, I think they're a great opportunity for people that may not have participated in the market before from a cost standpoint. It does end up being a self-fulfilling prophecy for the market. As you know, all of those indexes are market cap weighted. So as you buy the index, the bigger the company, the more you're going to buy it, and therefore the bigger it becomes. And so I think, you know, not only is it a question of are those growth rates sustainable, but also a question of, you know, when are people going to start looking and saying, maybe I need to diversify a little bit away from those five big names.
Another reason for active management.
Exactly.
Joel, let's bring you into the show. We had a number of signs this week that the economic expansion may in fact be cooling off a tad. Retail sales fell 1.1% in July from June. Report that you commented on here, consumer sentiment fell sharply first half in August.
That was a scary one, Bob. The consumer sentiment is sort of seen as a harbinger of consumer spending, which drives 70% of the economy. Consumer sentiment also is pretty fickle. But in August, the sentiment dropped to the lowest it's been in, you know, more than a decade. It compares with how much it dropped when Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf of Mexico and energy prices spiked. And I think the anniversary for that is this weekend, actually. I think it was like 16 years ago this weekend that happened. But what's affecting people's sentiment of the economy right now is the Delta variant, and also what you just referred to is a sense that things, as far as the economic recovery, that a lot of the gains that have been made were the easy gains, and that it's going to be a little slower now as we keep on recovering. I mean, this recovery started back in April of 2020. We didn't really realize that we were recovering, but we've been recovering a long time already. So the University of Michigan comes out with a sentiment report, and they said, this doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to affect the economy, this low consumer sentiment, but that it's something to watch, and it could actually have an emotional impact on spending in coming months.
First-time claims for unemployment insurance hit a pandemic low when you even out and you do the four-week moving average, showing the job market is recovering.
That's right. And, you know, we have like 12 million people claiming unemployment benefits right now, but 9 million of those are connected with programs that are, you know, tied to the pandemic. And those temporary programs are going to be going away in a couple of weeks. So, a lot is going to be happening with those unemployment claims, but it's in the right direction. We had, 5.3 million claims in April of 2020, and we're down under 400,000 now.
Brian, we haven't talked about municipal bonds on this show for a while. Let's bring that up in light of the fact that they're doing really well. A lot of people thought state and local governments were going to have problems a year ago when the pandemic really started. Sales tax receipts, gas tax receipts really plunged, left a lot of state and local governments caught off guard. But now with the real possibility that President Biden is going to raise taxes on the rich folks, municipals have been rallying here. A year ago March, the market for munis was terrible for a number of weeks. All that went by the wayside. Prices have recovered. Yields are pretty low right now, but they're exempt from federal tax. What's your take on tax freeze now?
Yeah, so if you owned them the last 10 years, you made a bunch of money, right? It's really been a good run for munis. And to your point, part of the attraction is the potential for higher income brackets as tax policy may change, that the higher income tax brackets may go tax-free and save some money. Now, the spreads between those two right now are 63%, give or take. So you got to have a 37% or more tax rate to take advantage of that. But I do think there's also another benefit to own immunities, which is just to diversify your portfolio in terms of credit, you know. So it's not always about the yield, but it's about having something different in your portfolio where the underlying investment is safe or not as safe. These are credit issues. And I like the diversity that munis bring, even if the yields themselves right now aren't as attractive as they've been.
And we've seen it. You know, this year munis are doing better than corporates. Last year it was just the opposite. Corporates did better than the tax-free munis. Which speaks to your point of the more you spread your money out, the less risk you have, and it's important not to embrace just one vehicle in the fixed income markets.
Well, and I think if you combine a couple of these conversations, if you look ahead a little bit and Treasury yields start to normalize over time, it may swing the pendulum back the other way, and that's how it works, right?
You know, it's pretty hard not to like how well stocks have done this year. As we close out the month of August, to see the markets up as high as they are, I think all of us should just say thank you to the markets. Been a pretty good run. Pretty hard to forecast short term what the markets are going to do. About anybody's guess, but if the books were to close this afternoon, we'd all finish up the year looking in pretty good shape. Well, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. We enjoyed doing the show. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.